We are interviewing Mrs. Mattie Serbo.
Nellie.
Oh, okay. And Clarence and Beulah Serbo. And Nellie Kay. So we're going to just be talking about as much as you can remember of your life when you were growing up, Mrs. Serbo.
Are you going to ask me the question?
Well, let's start with how many were in your family.
You mean that my sisters and brothers?
Mm-hmm.
I only had one sister.
Uh-huh.
And then my father died. My mother married the second time. And then I had 10 half brothers and sisters.
Boy, were you all given special jobs to do?
I was the oldest. I had hard jobs.
Which were what?
Washing dishes, making beds, and sweeping, and milking cows.
Oh, that kept you busy, didn't it? What sort of a house did you live in?
Old time. One was built a million times.
It was? Now, what was it built like? Was it out of logs?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A log house. You say it was from the Indian times?
It was built back in the Indian times, yes. But it had great long bolts on the door and other.
Yeah.
For hinges.
Uh-huh. Oh, is it still standing? No. No.
They tore it down, built a new house, and it's burnt down since then.
Have you any idea how your family found that place in the mountains?
That the Indian time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't in the mountains. It was an open field, so everything was cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was my stepfather's home.
Uh-huh. Do you know, well, what I'm trying to get at, do you know where they came from originally? Yeah, your people.
Well, my father was a German. He's from Germany. His parents did, but he was born here in the United States.
Yeah, his parents came from Germany. Mm-hmm. What was your maiden name?
Schaffner. Spell it.
S-A-F-F.
S-C-H-A-F-F-E-N-A-K-E-R.
Oh, that is a good German name, isn't it? You said that your, Mr. Serbo, that your father had ran a sawmill? And this was for... Well, would people bring their wood there to him to have?
Mostly them to attract coming in and store their one place to another. So, and use horses to drive the loads to the field and to sell.
Uh-huh.
To get too far to drag, then they move to closer to the road.
And then he would sell the wood to
lumber.
Sell the lumber. Yeah. Okay. Did any of your family do the peeling of the bark?
Yeah.
For the tannery?
Yeah, when there's a right time of the year, it's bark peeling time, and it's cut the logs and peel the bark off the logs and all of that.
Your family did too, didn't they, Beulah?
No, I don't think so.
Didn't you say yours did, Valerie?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then your family would bring it into the Ray.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How would they get it there, to the Ray?
Huh?
college on the old shed, the horse was full of hookers. Had, did somebody ever have a digging?
Right.
Up the sled and
wagons too.
Wagons.
Two horse wagons.
Was there a good enough trail to use a horse and wagon?
Yeah.
It was? Where did it go through?
To a town.
The Turnpike and down Tanner's Ridge.
Yeah.
Oh, down Tanner's Ridge.
And the old Turnpike.
Well, it wasn't at Tanner, it was there at Stanley at that time.
Tanner was in the bridge.
Yeah, the Tanner was in Stanley at that time, 10 years ago, when they used to haul that forest out there.
Oh, then they didn't take it into the ridge.
No.
Where was that tannery? Do you recall?
Don't know. I couldn't detect.
I never knew that there had been one in Stanley.
Yeah. That's been a long time ago.
Yeah, right. Did you, Mrs. Servo, have, I think this is the funniest story that you were telling the other day. Did you use feather beds? Did the feathers move apart? What I'm wondering is why they didn't, why you didn't stitch through to sort of hold the feathers.
We need to, but there was so much in the tip that there was just plenty there.
But that was Nellie telling about how she would get in a feather bed and, you know, there wasn't that many feathers in. They would fall on one side and there wasn't nothing over.
None of my other pictures like that.
They were good and warm, weren't they? They were hard to get out of bed, though, weren't? Wasn't it hard to get out of a feather bed? I slept in one once and I had a pair. I could never get out. I struggled. That probably was part of it. Yeah, they did feel good. Well, what kind of cooking did you do? Now, you raised chickens? Did you raise chickens?
No, you talked about after I was married.
No, before.
Oh, I was still home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, my mother was living and my stepfather, because my father died when I wasn't 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother married him the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So on a farm, most of the time, part of the time, we were in Kitten Bridge. But I helped cows.
Mm-hmm. Did you have hogs? Yeah. Did you allow the cattle to sort of roam around and or were they fenced in?
We went to the field and brought them in at the evening and kept them in the barnyard till morning.
So they were in a fenced in area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't fence in your cattle, did you, when you were little?
Well, like you said, we'd bring them in at the evening and keep them in the barnyard.
Yeah.
So we'd have to go out all a long way sometimes to drive them into the barn, you know, the evening to meal.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'd keep them in the barnyard, you know, so they'd be there. We'd have to go after them.
How come didn't your cows get mixed up with somebody else's cows?
Well, they didn't. We knew our own, and they knew where to come to, you know. We'd feed them, and they would always come back to where we'd be feeding. But there was fence, you know, each farm had fence.
Sometimes did you use stone fences, or were they wire fences?
Mostly wire fences, or rail fences, or, you know.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of stone fences left up there.
Well, now, I never did live when they had the stone fence.
Mm-hmm.
It was either rail or wire. Or sometimes Papa would make a brush fence, you know, where they'd clean off we'd call it a new ground, where you go in the woods and start from start.
Yeah.
And he would pile the brush around the fence, around to make a fence. keep things going. Did you all ever do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did that work?
Yeah, it did keep things going because all of those trees, you know, you cut down trees and lay them in and pack the brush again.
But wouldn't they gradually deteriorate?
Yeah. And if they would, you know, clean the place up, they'd always throw this junk up in the sand.
Yeah. And then the honeysuckle takes over and grows over it and keeps it there.
I don't remember any honeysuckles up there.
You don't?
I never saw one of them honeysuckles when I was down in the valley.
I can't remember.
You know, never done seeing them.
Really?
Never did.
Or blackberries.
Yeah, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries, and huckleberries.
Yeah, those huckleberries. You know there aren't huckleberries up there now? Not the way they were.
In some places, it's plenty of huckleberries.
There are?
Mm-hmm.
You tell me where so I can go pick.
They're gone now, but the Roundhead Mountain,
they
were
plenty out
of them.
Yeah.
The what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the elms must have been picked up on that thing.
Every time when they burn off the mountain, in a year or so, it come back and plenty of huckleberries.
Yeah, right.
That's why they burn the mountain off the
mountain. Sure. Yeah. And that was the best way to keep the berries, too, to keep them sure of them coming. By the way, did you dry huckleberries ever?
Never did.
Did you dry huckleberries?
Dried apples for my folks.
Around the Elkton area, they used to dry huckleberries, and they said they made the best pies of anything they ever ate, dried huckleberries.
Did you ever dry them, Miss
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One question I wondered, did anybody have grape arbors?
Yes, when I did.
Yeah. Only, I mean, when you were living up there,
uh-huh.
You did?
Yes.
What kind?
We never did have any, what we call
arbors.
Grape arbors. Mm. There was the wild grape. Were they any good to eat?
Yeah, they make the best jelly.
Really?
They don't like good meat, though, was it, huh?
No, not sweet like sour, but to make it into jelly.
Apples, mixed with apples, mixed
with
sweet
butter. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you were just
delicious. Yeah. I'm going to take
the food. I'm going to go crazy in the bridge.
Well, that's all right.
Well,
I'm not going to get a few
more.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice
and
fine. Yeah. Okay.
Did you make your own soap, Mrs. Serbo?
Soap, I did, yeah. What they called, well, some of it was, wasn't soft, but then I boiled it enough to make it hard soap.
Now, this is a lye soap, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes, yeah, made that lye.
Yeah. Did your family make it?
Yeah, mine made it all.
Yeah. Was it much of a job?
No, it didn't take too long. She had this big iron pot, you know, and she would put meat scraps and lard, old lard and stuff in there, and just to let cook all up. That lye, you know, would eat that all up. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know just how long she would cook it. You remember, Miss
Irma? She cooked it in the 90s, boil it. Because the lye, you could boil the meat and grease and then put, add the water to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they boiled too.
Yeah. That was real nice soap. It was soft.
Yeah, it was hard on the hands. Mama would have to wash on the board and rub that on there and in that lye itself. And sometimes my friend would get them washing all the skin was off of my fingers. Did you ever had it? I never had much trouble. Me, Mama did. Of course, the rubbing that way too would rub the skin off of your fingers. And that would eat. Lye would eat your fingers.
Oh,
yeah. And then throw them, they wash the things out real good with that soap and throw them in a kettle and boil them and take them out and wash them.
Oh.
Dave. It's a wonder if I had any clothes to wear at all.
Well, they were made of good, sturdy material, not like the material is today.
That's right.
Yeah. What store did your family use?
Well, we used it down in Pine Grove. Everett Weeks reported to the grave. What was that grave?
Dave's grave.
Dave's grave that Papa then used to, that was when I was too small to go. But when I remember, Everett Weeks run a store down in there, and we'd take our eggs down in there and get children, coffee, and stuff like that. We raised the most of our stuff that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Children, coffee, and things, you know.
Kerosene. And material, did he sell material? Where did you get your material then?
Well, it would come to Stanley. Willie Robbins run a store up there at Stanley. He had all that stuff.
Oh. That's the same one Cletus McCoy used to go to.
Well, we had a lot of
stuff. Was it a big store? How big would you say?
Well, it was a lot of
stuff. You know where Stanley IGA store is now?
Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a place.
That was Robin.
Willie Robin.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And the Ward store in New Reyes for his brother, Henry, run a store in there for a long time.
Now, when you took your things in, did he give you credit or did he give you cash?
Either way you want.
Either way. W.B. Judd used to just give credit, that was all.
Well, that's what we mostly got. So he would let the have cash if you. I think he would even lend it to you if you ask if he was really good.
Oh.
But we always, if we had anything, we just get because that's what we had taken it out there for.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Serbaugh, the store that you used, would your family take in eggs and hams and things like that?
Well, I don't know if they're taking hams, but I'm taking plenty of eggs.
And chickens?
Chickens,
uh-huh. Would they give you credit or cash?
Well, Delta.
You what?
Delta does. We buy something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They come to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chicken, coffee.
That's just that. I remember that charges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's hard to come out exactly even, isn't it? Yeah. Now, for you buy sugar and coffee and kerosene.
Bacon powder and soda.
Oh, yeah.
Molasses.
You mean you didn't make sorghum?
You all used to make your own molasses, didn't you? You might as
well.
Yes.
I didn't do that all the time. Had still molasses most of the time. With the sorghum
too. Mm-hmm. So you raised cane?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And your family didn't raise any cane. Did yours?
No.
So many did. I wonder why. Fisher Finks is saying that he even experimented with raising cotton up there at Big Meadows. And he said it grew very good. Yeah. Which was quite a surprise to me because I would have thought it was too cold. Yeah. How did your family store the vegetables in the winter? Did you dig a trench?
Well, it wasn't a trench, it was your own place. Put some straw in there and put apples and then some more straw on top of them to keep them. And the same way with potatoes.
And cabbages?
Well, I believe you buy cabbage like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And turnips, yeah. Roughly, how large a garden would you say your family had?
Well, some of the places I figured would have been close to a half an acre.
You can grow an awful lot in a half an acre. So they'd grow beans and peas.
Mm-hmm.
potatoes and cabbage and parsnips and sometimes carrots. And
carrots and all that rock?
Well, now the garden wasn't too bad. Some of the places where we lived, the gardens wasn't too rocky because we'd always aimed to fill the rocks off, you know.
Yeah.
But now in the cornfield, you know, where we'd have our cornfields, that was right out in the mountains, that was in the fertile rocks.
Mm. Yeah.
I put corn down in a place and had to go somewhere else and get dirt to put down on the corn. See, that's the truth.
Yeah,
I said that thing. But see, the corn would come up, like come up, you know, the side of them rocks, and they could kill me the corn near the thing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard them say that it was because the rocks kept the moisture when it rained, and it kept the heat of the sun when the sun was out, and it helped make the corn grow faster and bigger. And so they said there was no sense in taking the rocks out of the garden. It helped the corn.
But now our garden, there wasn't that rocky because every time we would, you know, farm it, we would always try to throw them out to the side.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the garden down to where that was pretty smooth.
Did you make stone fences? You said you didn't.
No.
You just make piles of the rocks.
Throw them around, see, there's like a wire fence around, and of course we just throw them out to the side, and it wasn't never a rock fence, it was just a rock pile, you might call it.
Mm-hmm. Rock piles are very dangerous. Snakes like them. Did you have many snakes?
No, I don't think so. I was too afraid of them. I'd like to chop them up with a hoe every time I see them.
Oh.
And I'd chop them too
bad. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, one thing that I've always wondered, was there ever a special day that the women did baking? Or did they just sort of bake automatically every day?
Saturday was ready for Sunday, didn't it? Yeah, that's the way we used to do, but didn't you used to bake? You made your own bread, didn't you?
Oh, yes. See, I must have made the sawmill, and I had to bake bread for dinner to take. But it'd be gone most of the week. Bake pies.
Mm-hmm. But you did it on Saturday?
Mostly on Saturday. I had it over the, you know. We had a lot of company, and we lived up on the mountain.
Yeah.
Lots of company.
Yeah, people did a lot of visiting, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there weren't phones, so you just would walk to their house, right? And say,
uninvited or anything. You didn't have to be invited.
No. No, I think that was a wonderful way of life. It really was. When a woman was going to have a baby, did you call Dr. Ross or did you use a midwife?
Midwife.
A midwife.
How many children of yours were born in the hospital?
Wow.
You had 10.
And you had a midwife?
The doctor and then we had a midwife too. She was a baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. How many were in your family?
Mama had 6 children, but 2 of them died, you know, before. Well, the one was next to the oldest, and he died. I was 16 then. And then the one next to me died, so there's 4 of us lived.
What happened to them?
I think the baby had pneumonia. And then my brother, he was about 14, he had sugar diabetes. And back then, they didn't have, you know, things to... They didn't know as much about sugar diabetes as they do now, so that's what killed.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes, you know who that is. That's a man and woman sitting on the street. Man and woman there.
There?
Yeah.
Who is it?
I don't know.
It looks like me.
Wait and see.
a good looking guy too. How did you get him? Was he a neighbor?
No. We didn't get acquainted with one another until he was 20.
Uh-huh. So where did you meet him?
Well, we all lived around close to Cambridge. Mm. And I went to Sunday school when he was small, when I was small, but of course we didn't play together, nothing like that. We just went to the same Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Well, it's just how you met, you know, how did you, I've heard you tell how you all seen each other, and of course you were taking a liking to each other right away, but then it seemed like he knew that you were the one for him, and you thought he was...
Well, I heard that he had pneumonia, and he did that run over me. We wasn't acquainted with one another, that run over me was the same as if they said, my mother's sick. I recognized
Russ and me. Yeah.
So then when Walt Oates was still going with me, well, we passed by where Huntsman lived, and he said to himself, well, that's fine, because I'm going to drag her out of that car. It wasn't no car.
That was mine.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't no car. We didn't have cars.
Yeah.
A bugging horse.
Yeah.
But then, Huntsman, I was telling you about him having pneumonia, and after he got over the pneumonia, I reckon the first place he come was over there from Pioneer. And mother done the talking to him. I don't think I said two words to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first place he come, and I said, but why he come, I think, mama sent me over to his mother before he was sick. With milk and some other stuff, you know. He told me afterwards then that his mother said I was the one that brought it. So I guess he wanted to come see me then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when he left, he was more my mother's boyfriend than he was mine. But he said, come back again.
What sort of a wedding did you have? A simple one?
Hagerstown got married.
Everybody went to Hagerstown to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know why. I feel like I had
most of them went to Hagerstown, I think, because they were married before they were old enough to get married.
Well, I was 22. Some of them are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been surprising how many people I've heard went to Hagerstown. Did you go to Hagerstown?
No.
No. Did you feel?
No.
No, we
were
married there in Winchester.
Mrs. Serbo, do you recall any particular herbs that your mother used or that you used? Like, what was done for a bad cold?
Horehound, that was recommended for a bad cold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, you drink it as tea, but bitter.
Yeah.
And the catnip tea, I've made that and give it to the baby to make them sleep.
Uh-huh.
And horehound, I'd boil that and put sugar in and make a horehound candy out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know what any of that stuff is.
Did you ever use that beautiful concoction of turpentine and sugar?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't?
Mm-hmm.
You did, didn't you?
Yes,
did you, Buell?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That was good matter.
Did it really work?
It really did.
Sounds unbelievable that it would work. It sounds as though everybody was trying to commit suicide.
That was good. I know I went down to my grandmother's one day and all I had was a bag of hope. And this was started. All I could do was wipe my nose. And Aunt Reed had taken turpentine, where she put this in water, taking a teaspoon and dropped turpentine in that and give it to me. And it really helped him a little while. And Mama used to put it in castor oil. Grind up the mustard plant?
What was it, David? Was it mustard seed?
That was real mustard that you buy at the store that had used for me.
Mustard seed? Mama had a coffee meal, you know, where you used to grind coffee, and she'd put that in there. And I don't know how she would fix it, but she would spread it over this rag and put it on it while he was burning a brisk rag. You didn't put a, you know, a cough next to it.
Sure.
Really,
I think she mixed it with lard, didn't she?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did it work?
Already.
You were just so glad to get it off, you didn't know. Were there many colds?
Not too many, I don't think.
I think living out of doors the way all of you did so much.
Open house, I mean, never a toy house what we have now. You'd be laying in the bed and feel the
smoke.
Yeah.
People wasn't here, you'd speak to the clothes, don't you?
Yeah.
But very seldom had to go to the doctor for anything.
Yeah. Well, that's because you were living a good, healthy, out-of-door life, eating good nourishing food. Yeah. Not like the bread that you buy now. The bread was all your own grain, really.
I wouldn't have the moment to save them for birds of them.
Well, Dr. Ross didn't seem to be that fussy about being paid, was he?
No, and Dr. Wolf, that old doctor at Chinador, he was, he'd go whether he got me paid for it or not. I bet the people died and owed him a plant. My sister, when one of her children was born, they had a midwife of her, and she was just about gone. My sister was just, Mama, did she know she was a doctor?
Oh.
And Mama was there, and she told Bernie, the woman told her, said, you go to the, and get out the water, because you can do that, and you can last long. And Bernie started, and as it happened, Dr. Wolf was his family. And Bernie got him on the horse and taking him up there as soon as he could, and he told Bernie, he said, if I hadn't got there on the beach, you'd been there.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
was it a breech birth?
I don't know. I think that the birth was all right, but they couldn't get the afterbirth. I think it's what it was.
Oh.
And my mama said, had his arms been done at roping back on the beach, she knew she was about to come. And Dr. Ball told me, he said, if I hadn't been where I was, he'd have been gone.
Wow. I suppose I shouldn't ask this, but I was just happening to think, were there any doctors called in if there was a gunshot wound? Because you know the way people are always talking about mountain people. I know it. Yeah.
Well, you hardly ever heard anything like that back then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was just, well, I remember about 14 when he died, and that's when he was still there. This man come to our house. He just come up through the fields, you know, and Papa was out on the wood top, splitting wood. And a nice looking man, young man, come up there to me, got to talking, and he asked if he could stay all night. Well, back then, them people never would turn nobody away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what, you know, there was a, what did you call them? Trans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They would come around, and people back then would never turn nobody away. They'd take them in and give them something to eat and give them a place to sleep. So Papa brought him in, and he sat there, and he told, you know, what he had done. He said, I've killed a man. And he had been in prison, but he had broke out, and he was escaping now. And he said, if you all would want to, he said, you get that phone and call me. He said, already there was a reward on your way home. Well, we wouldn't have done nothing for nothing. And there was a phone up there at the mission room. And he stayed for 2 or 3 days or so. And he got afraid, and he told Papa, he said, my mother is wealthy. He was from Massachusetts, I mean, he'll forgive you. And he said, my mother is wealthy. He said, I never lacked for a thing. And he said, I just got to drink it. And he said, I fell out with this man, and he said, I shot him. And he was as sorry for it as he could be. But he done it, you know, while he was drunk. So when he left, he told Papa, he said, if I get back to my mother, he said, you will never regret what you've done for me. And we never be here at the whole time. He was not a man for everybody. But he was a naughty.
They got him before he got back home.
But he said his mother was well-to-do. He said, I didn't like her anything.
Oh, innocent thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And when he left, he went on down to his other cat leaf, you know. And he went on down. I can see him going down to the earth. And then I thought, look at his skin and his head on him.
He should have stuck to the mountains going home rather than go down.
I don't know what it was. Happened to him, but we never did see nothing more. His name was Robert King. Now that's the name that he gave up.
Mm-hmm.
But back then we didn't have a radio. You didn't hear any news and all like you do now, but we never did.
Mm-hmm.
Hear whether he got killed or whether they called him or whatever happened to him. But he'd be large and we just, well, they just done for him and waited on him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he could have. Maybe I got a reward, you know, if this turned me in, but we wouldn't have done it for that.
No. No. That was one thing about the mountain people, and maybe you can verify this. I've heard that if somebody did something wrong and went to jail for it, when they came back, there was no paint on them whatsoever. It was felt you served your punishment, and they were accepted right back in the community. Is that right? In other words, you sort of had your own rules. They were good rules, ones that you could all live with, right? And live with one another with. Yeah.
And if anybody got in trouble, I mean, in a hard place, you know, just like they got sick and weren't able to do, well, the neighbors would go and just help them. You know, we'd have corn shucking. People would come in and help us shuck corn. And we would go and help people in their fields, and they would help one another.
Mm-hmm.
But now everybody's for themselves. They just, they don't care about nobody else, you know. But us that way, everybody just works together and can help each other.
Yeah.
And they had a good time. They enjoyed doing it.
And it wasn't because you were all kin to each other.
No, they didn't.
No.
Brotherly love.
That's right. There wasn't that much of marrying between cousins, was there, or was there a great deal?
There was quite much of
it. Uh-huh. It didn't bother people, though, did it? No. Because it's supposed to make idiots of people, and I don't think there were any.
Your close skin and didn't relation at all.
Yeah.
Double, triple, first cousin. You know what the relation to my mother? What was old?
Your own grandpa. Yeah, that's.
I had a father tell me that he was his own grandpa. He figured out, and he told me, they expected it. He must have been. And that's his own grandpa.
How did he work that?
I know.
Let's see, if he married, how'd he do it?
I don't know, I don't think he did either.
The way he told it, true.
But, you know, it seems to me there weren't any more mentally or physically disabled among the mountain people than there were, than there are in normal society.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That just seemed like up there that they had more, some of them had more common sense, and some of the people had, you know, with an education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So up there, if you would get as much as a fifth grade education, well, you were further ahead than people that, you know, that really graduated, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they had common sense, you know, to go with.
Sure. And you were really taught.
Didn't you help to teach school, Mr. Herbert?
Yes, I finished up my language term. He got sick 3 months.
Now, how far did you go in school when you were?
Well, I reckon sixth grade, but I think all the grades then, but the biggest we had, I think I went as far as the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
All my first folks come down there. Mother's home, and asked me if I couldn't finish one. I said, can you finish at school? I said, yes, you can. I'll help you to have Bureau for the Bureau that Brad, you know, this few Sundays ago, by Sunday week. So, what do you like? Her father lived 1 million. But I'm not in the same town.
Was it a one-room school?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So then you had to take care of all sixth grades while you were teaching?
Well, I don't remember just how many was there, but the parents, each
one,
I think, the county didn't pay me, the parents paid me.
But there wasn't one teacher in the whole schoolhouse, right?
That's all.
Yeah. You had to take care of all sixth grade.
Right, yeah. How about discipline? Was it hard to discipline the children? I imagine, now wait, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What was the discipline like with your parents?
Strict.
How about yours?
Same way. God.
Did you ever dare say, I won't do that?
Oh, yeah, I was
going to get
back in the corner somewhere.
Better not say that.
Well, what if you didn't feel like doing it?
You did it anyway. Yes, you did it anyway. That's right.
Yeah. So you were all given special chores. This is your duty. This is your duty, and this is yours. Now, what if one of your sisters or brothers got sick? Would you have to double up and do theirs? and still walk all those miles to school.
Straight up the hill, I do.
Straight.
Almost straight up the hill.
What school did you attend?
Earl Tanner's Ridge, at, you know, the mission for the church in
there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, there was a schoolhouse just beyond that.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I went to school. There's an old schoolhouse there.
What were your teachers name?
Katie Hale. Of course, I had Alice Hilliard. She still lives there at Stanley. She taught us a lot. And there was a Moss Plumman and a Charlie
Plumman.
Alice Hilliard.
I didn't know she was part of that. I thought she was known.
Well, she taught some, but Alice Hilliard is the one I went to.
Did you go to the same school, Alice? Where was yours?
Over at the Cobblehaven School at. You know where the Harris Sucrius and Jollet are?
Yeah.
Well, it was on, you kept going, where'd you take it, forward you could get?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has been about 2 miles from that on up to school where the Cobblehaven School at.
Well, how far away was that from your home?
About 3 miles, that's the walk.
No, I never did have to walk that far. It wasn't that far, but it
did was that thing, you know.
Yeah. Was there a path?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You said there were quite a number of you that went all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that made it more fun, didn't it?
Sure.
Did you walk all alone?
No, there was other than Robert.
Your homes were about how far apart? Now, like your nearest neighbor was how far away?
No, it's just.
So your home was about 2 or 3 miles away from the nearest house.
Mm-hmm.
How far away was your home?
I imagine Air Force Two.
That's a good distance apart, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet you all visited as though it was nothing.
Yeah,
they didn't think anybody was
alive.
Had an
old lantern there.
Yeah. Mm. You say you never did any dancing until you met your husband. Didn't you say
one
that?
One time, I think. I thought I was sleeping off my mama. She wouldn't let me go to nothing like that.
Oh.
So my aunt was the one, and I thought so. She asked me to go, you know, and I pretended I was going over to Aunt Chris. And I didn't think Mama knew, you know, where I was going, and she knew all the time that she wouldn't let me know. So Aunt Chris's girl, she come in, and I was getting ready to go. I just like I was going over there. They almost said, Bill's Mama said if you was going with her to the dance, hurry up and come on over. And I thought, oh. I thought that had fixed me right there. And Mama said, I'm going to let you go this time, but now I don't never want you to go. So she let me go, but it's a miracle that she ever let me go.
Oh, God.
She wouldn't let me go to nothing like that.
Uh-huh. It was considered frivolous, was that it, or what?
Well, who knows? It wouldn't. They didn't want to let you go to nothing. They could call it of the world, you know. They was trying to live for the Lord. And they thought it was such a sin, you know, to do anything like that. But I went. I really had a good time. And the boy I was abandoned, he drugged me through because I didn't know one step. I never seen anybody square dance.
Oh.
And I told him, he asked me if I was going to dance. I said, no, and he did. He said, I'll show you how. He said, oh. And he drugged me through. But I did have a good time, but the boy that I was going with Howard at the time. Howard Lamb, the one that's taking you up tonight.
Yeah.
Well, he had taken me to the dance.
Uh-huh.
And the boy that I had been going with before, when we got there, he said, you go dance with me, and that's when I told him I was, and I said, I don't know how to dance. And when they got ready to dance, well, he just jerked me right up and just taken me right on in there and danced with. So, of course, Howard knew that
But I didn't have anything to do with that at all. I couldn't help myself, but I was rather a dancer than what I was with, you know, a dancer.
Ah, rather than Howard.
So we danced a while, and he said, now I'm going to take you home. And I said, no, you're not. I said, I'm going back with the one that I, you know, had come with. So when we started and got down the road a piece, the one that I had danced with had aimed to throw a rock and hit the guy that I worked with on the head, I reckon, and somebody grabbed his arm. But see, I didn't know anything about this, so I stayed with my grandpap that day, that night. And Howard and Audrey were standing there on the porch, and my uncle comes. He'd been playing a fiddle for the day. And when he come, he said, Howard, did you have any words with anybody else around? Boy, he said, no. He said, I didn't have no words with nobody. He said, well, you better watch when you pass the ford. He called it. It was the creek. He said, you better watch when you pass another couple of dollars away from you. Well, that scared me. And I was so afraid, you know, Mama would find that out.
Sure.
I thought, boy, that's a big cook, my goose. But if it happens, when he went back down there, his brother and his cousin was waiting there for him, too. But they had to come down there. He could go beat him up. That's just how mean he was.
Mm-hmm. So you did pick the wrong guy to dance with. Who was it, you know?
Albert Lamb, the one that I danced with, and it was Howard that I had went over there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And see, all that was going on, and I didn't know if Uncle Roy hadn't told me. I'd have never known, you know, that there was anything wrong. And then I heard after that Albert had picked up a rock, I don't know how big, well, it could have hit me just as good as it could have hit him.
Sure.
And said she grabbed his arm and wouldn't let him go.
Where was this dance held? In a home?
In Weaver Hall, yes.
In a home?
You know where Howard took me up in Weaver Hall? Well, did he take you all the way as far up there as you could go? Well, just before you got to where you couldn't go any farther. You led up in the road that leads off to the rock, and it was up in the mountain up there. It was in a home. They moved everything out of the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and started for the dance. And that was the first, and I reckon the last square dance that I was ever at.
How about you, Valley? Did you do much dancing?
No.
No? Why?
But we'll let you go.
I think this is terrible. There's nothing harmful in dancing.
I've been off a couple of times in women.
Oh, you did. Mm-hmm. And how did you sneak off and go? Did you have a fortunate grandmother too?
Yeah, I was going to my grandmother's and said I'd go to dance. And then scared to get to come back home for a day. He found it out and get me when I got back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have any special boy that you went with?
No, not any.
Mm-hmm.
I like her that dragged me around.
You two are cousins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through what branch? Through the Jenkins, is this?
No.
Thomas. Her daddy and my daddy was dead.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then how did the Jenkins come into this?
Her mother was a Jenkins.
Your mother was a Jenkins. And that's how Nell Woodward.
Yeah.
Nell Woodward was a Jenkins, right?
Right.
Okay, I think I got it. And now, Mrs. Anderson is related in what way? Through the Jenkins?
I don't know how that is.
Do you know?
She always said she was a cousin, a mother. But now, how, I don't.
Yeah. Wasn't it you that was saying that your grandmother's picture looks as though she's an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
you don't see him say something, he's going to put to sleep.
You're not going to go to sleep, Mrs. Serbo, are you?
No, I'm enjoying
it. Aren't you enjoying this?
I'm enjoying your talking.
Well, I think it's fun.
I thought they'd come up here today. So you do all the talking.
Well, we found ourselves, as usual. No, but I think that Indian is a fascinating aspect, because I'm trying to figure out, there were not really many Indians left in Page Valley. In fact, there were none at the time the white man came through. So they must have gone up into the mountains, wouldn't you say?
Would have to, I bet.
Yeah. Did you have any, I know you said the home you grew up in was in the Indian times, but did you have any Indian blood in you? No.
You used to find plenty of dark, is that what it's called?
Indian hair? Added?
White.
Well, it is Indian dark.
Something in the rock, some kind of mineral in the rock. Yeah. Did your family grow corn for and take it to the mill?
Yes, take it to the mill, have a growing cornmeal.
Uh-huh. Did you pay the miller, or did he take a certain portion for himself as payment? You don't remember?
I didn't take it to the mill myself.
Uh-huh. But you all paid, you didn't pay the miller. He would take 10%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And the same with the wheat. Did you ever flail wheat?
No.
No,
we did.
Beans.
You what?
Frail beans, put them in a sack. That was the meaning.
No.
Yeah.
A frail was a two-piece stick, wasn't it?
And pour them out. It would have to be a windy day. And have a big wash tub. And pour them on that and haul it right away. And the beans would go on down in the tub.
This is after they had dried, right?
You helped me do that. I reckon that's Nelson's place. So
yeah,
they were what they call soapies. That's where I got the dirt in my eye. I had a sore eye for another 6 weeks.
But that sure beat peeling them all, didn't it, and breaking them up. Did you do it that way?
Yeah, we put them in sacks, you know, and eat them. But we never did raise wheat up there. We did beans like that. We never wheat. We just have to go to the store and buy flour, you know.
Oh.
We never did raise
wheat. You didn't? I should think it would have been cheaper to raise it than to buy
it. No, I don't know whether wheat would grow up there or not, but I never did try to raise wheat.
I don't know this about
it. Now, they did rye. They had rye and stuff like that for feed, you know, for cattle and corn.
Yeah.
And things. Never knew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to play the camera bit again, aren't we? Oh, gosh. Well, the church that you went to, did you both go to the same church?
No.
What one did you go to?
Well, I went to the Episcopal some. That was up there. It wasn't no church then, like I say, where the church is now in Tanner's Ridge. Yeah. They had the service in the old schoolhouse.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, there was a Pentecostal preacher come in Weaver Holler. I mean, Ever Howard showed you, you probably seen the little white church on the
top.
We went down in there, and that was, I expect it was 6 or 8 or 10 miles from what we lived down in there to that
place. Your book.
And we would walk down in there of a night and back and think nothing else.
Oh.
Good heavens. And we went down there a while, and you know where Dark Hollow is?
Yeah.
We had walked from way down below this church now on Tanner's Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
Clear over down into Dark Hollow and back home. Mm-hmm. So get up early the next morning, go pick berries or beans or everything.
Somebody is dressed in blue. Do you see? Had a blue suit on.
Just went out this way.
Went up for towards the mountain.
What church did you go to?
Well, I walked down in the Weaver Hollow, like you said, the Dark Hollow.
Yeah. Nobody went over to Deaconess Hutton's church?
No, I never.
Yeah, I have been there. Mm. Yes, I have. One of the pine groves.
Yeah.
I've been up there.
Mm. She's a wonderful woman,
yes,
isn't she?
Yes, she
is. Absolutely beautiful.
Well, that, didn't you used to go to church down over at the Cole Lamb School, huh? There had been had services down there?
It seemed like it was more singing. I always went to down there, and it was be a service. And I could get there and just sing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember going there to a service.
How much land did your family own?
None.
Oh. Okay.
We lived on a farmer's, you know, farm up on the mount.
Oh, I
see. Lived down in, right below my house down in there.
Uh-huh.
And of course he would bring sheep and cattle up there, and we would take care of them for him.
I see.
And of course he would give us a house to live in.
And did he pay?
Yeah, that's how we would. Papa would have money to buy our shoes and clothes and things.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he would furnish us a cow. We never owned a cow.
Oh.
He would furnish us a cow, and we had our own hog.
Yeah. What was your maiden name?
Thomas.
That's right. Yeah. I thought I had it straight, and then I got it mixed up again. How much land did your family own?
Didn't have any.
Yours was the same way?
Yeah.
You know, that was real nice. Here you were able to live up there.
Take care of the cattle and sheep. And you never had to pay rent, only in taking care of the things and furnish your cows and milk.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about something, you never should have been about
her what?
Did she ever tell you she died?
No. I know she's been mighty sick various times.
Well, that's the way.
How?
You know about this?
No. That's her voice might have weak. I can't hear you.
She's over in the hospital. I think it's Charlottesville.
How long ago was this?
I don't know. Didn't quite about that.
But she said she saw enough while she was dead as far as the doctors could tell. She said, but she seen, she knows that it was a year after.
There would be bound to be for her.
Yeah.
That is a most wonderful woman. Absolutely marvelous. Do you know Deaconess Hutton at all, Mrs. Serbo?
What'd you say?
Did you know Deaconess Hutton at all? She's a woman who had polio when she was 5 years old. And then she determined she was going to be a deaconess in the mountains. She got to be deaconess in the mountains by using crutches. Then she fell down and broke both her hips. She had to have a pin in both her hips. So now she gets around in a wheelchair. She's had a heart attack, and when you talk to that woman, you don't know that there is one thing wrong with her.
How old is she?
80-some.
Do you know my age?
No.
That's 92 last time, but...
No.
92 years, 8 months old now, I guess.
Good grief, that's wonderful. That is marvelous.
Not to brag, I've never been in the hospital, only to visit sick people.
Gosh.
I ain't got no doctor now.
You don't need one. Oh, that is simply marvelous.
Tell her what your remedy is that you use to put on your leg.
Alcohol and camphor. Just camphor that you chip up. Warm camphor.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon. Husbands. 12 husbands in a bottle of alcohol and some camphor.
And you rub that on your leg? And it works?
It makes them quit hurting.
That's marvelous. Where did you get the idea?
I don't know. Somebody, I think, told me a long, long time ago that's what they use.
Uh-huh.
So when I was out with my daughter in Arizona, well, she worked at the pharmacy. And people come in there and she told them what I used. Well, so they was no time till they was using the same thing I was and come back the second time to get more.
That's great. Now, is it rheumatism that you've got?
I don't know. I know the doctor never told me.
Oh, this has been wonderful. Can you think of anything that I have not mentioned?
Tell her how many children you got and where they are. And
where are all your children?
Well, one boy's in California, one boy's in Arizona.
Name is the child.
Well, Ross lives in Berryville, Clarence and Stanley, Floyd Kitten Bridge, Nellie in Winchester, Buck in California,
Dorothy
in Baltimore, Elsie in Baltimore, and Mary in Arizona, Johnny and Floyd both are Kitten Bridge.
Jimmy,
he's in Petersburg, Virginia.
Boy, you have a job keeping up with all of them, don't you?
Well, I've visited them all four times.
Yeah. How many grandchildren have you got?
Well, I got 10 children and only 12 grandchildren. So that doesn't sound reasonable, does it?
Nope. Somebody's not doing a job. Do you have any great grandchildren?
Yes, got five.
Five. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now you have to wait for them to grow up.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yes, I think you will. Something tells me you will.
Well, I've been mighty lucky. All my children, but one boy now in Baltimore, he's got cancer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So his picture is dealing with it. was picking when he was in the service.
Oh, what a good looking boy. Oh, he is so nice looking.
Her and her husband.
Oh!
And then, how many years have you
been married? 50 years. I've been married 50 years, I must say.
Really?
And the one there behind you, you've seen that, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's taking the day we was married.
Yeah. You know, that boy looks like your husband, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you get some of those pictures of all of them together?
And how did you, or did you, make apple butter?
Cut an apple and had a great big kettle.
Mm-hmm. Stir. Did you use two people, one on each side of the...
Pull the kettle up?
Now, to do the stirring, or did you just do it?
No, just one person.
Just one person. Mm-hmm. That's the way they did at the County Heritage. Just one person. And yet, I've always heard that there was one on each side. You know, that you'd sort of walk around this way.
Must have been a lot of kettle lovers, but all the apple butter that we made was just in the round kettle.
Yeah, a round kettle. Mm-hmm. And a fella on one end and a girl on the other end of the paddle, and they just, you know, sort of walked around and around and kept staring.
I've never seen them like that. We always do it back and forth.
Uh-huh. Did you do it at night or during the daytime?
Yeah, I might have done it in the daytime.
Then you didn't make a party out of it.
Sometimes the neighbors come in and help cut the apples.
Mm-hmm.
When you was a court, no, did you ever go to a butter boiling at night?
Mm-hmm. No, I went to a dance in my life. Yes, you used to talk about your dances. I've never been to a dance in my life. I never had a cigarette in my mouth.
Many can say that.
That's right. What was the one apple butter boiling you went to at night?
Well, that was at my cousin's, and Howard was busy at that time.
Ah.
And he was a pagan, the monks, and didn't know it. He was so sick he couldn't hardly stand it, but we didn't even know he had a chancel. So he really got bad off after that.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first and the last that I ever met. The night Mama never would let me go to none. But.
Didn't they play music?
No, nothing.
They didn't?
But at this same place where they had the butter boy, and they would have a music playing sometimes.
Yeah.
Different ones that play music, but we didn't dance.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Some of the people used to have a real wonderful time. They would get together, they would of course have all the apples all peeled and cored and everything. And then they would get together and they would have the music and they'd do dancing and they'd eat and they even had a few drinks. Mm. And you know, they'd make a real party out of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. But
that's what it was me. I've heard of it, but I never heard anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we made apple butter, that's when I was in the house. We aimed to get it done early in the morning so we could get done before night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must have been pretty laborious doing that stirring. Oh,
it was fun when you were back young like that. You didn't mind it.
Yeah.
And if it, you know, changed.
Yeah.
Did you give it one to do
it? That generally was my husband's job, my husband. I said that generally was his job to stir while I was getting crocks and everything ready to put the apple butter in.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing.
Mm-hmm. How would you cover the apple butter after it was made?
Just a dozen jars.
Yeah, but then cover it with what?
Well, we let it set till it got cold, and then we take paper and tie it up.
Rubber band. Like a
inner
field?
You have rubber bands
around and then you twine strings. Well, if I remember, you had to cut a few inner tubes that wide, you know, and take the piece of paper and put it down over the jar and then put the inner tube down.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see what's happened in my time. I don't remember about doing my way.
For your time.
You mostly put it in milk pots or
Down jar.
Put paper over it and tie it.
Well, same thing.
Yeah, just anything to keep the flies out, because it was preserved already, wasn't it, by the time it was made?
Yeah, you hardly ever had it mold wings.
No. Did they use a lot of spices in it?
Well, what did I use then? Cinnamon, I believe. A lot of cinnamon down there, while I was in the mouth, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have seen it with vanilla, but I said it takes a whole lot of vanilla to see if it kill apple butter.
Sure, yeah.
Boy, I don't like vanilla and apple
butter. I don't think I've ever tasted it with vanilla in it.
We never did make none with vanilla, but Uncle Joe and my uncle used to. They've heard of me now once in a while.
They did think I put the ginger in. Really?
Gosh. So you never went to dances. So you don't know what kind of music was played. Didn't anybody in your family play a fiddle?
You just asked. You played
it. I'm sure I did. Not
much. No.
I can play the radio and stuff.
But you play the guitar, don't you, Peter? Did anybody in your family play any?
Yeah. All of my family was musical. On Mama's side, but there's the office singers.
I've never seen so many people sing like you all did. And music too.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I remember when I was just small, I'd go down to my granddaddy's with my older sister. She was the oldest one. And I mean, almost every night they would have somebody in playing music. Fiddle, banjo, guitar, that was the prettiest music I ever heard.
Yeah.
Every one of them was musical. They could play music. And they really believed in dancing and, you know, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, I mean, you could get together and have a good time. There wasn't fighting and drinking and all that stuff. Very seldom ever any drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, they really had a good time together.
Sure.
But now you can't hardly do that because people that come with their bottle, you know, and then they get mad and fighting and they're doing and, and it was never like that.
No. Do you recall any of the tunes that were played when you'd all get together
like that? Yes, indeed. There's one piece I never will forget because it's stuck with me. I still love it and I don't hear it too much, and that was Soldier Joy.
Arkansas Tribesman.
Soldier Joy, I never will forget that. I love it.
Under the Double Eagle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Floppy of Mule.
Yeah, what's that?
Sugar in the Gourd.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Sugar in the Gourd, they called it.
Oh.
What do you think of that when Jesse Lamb played over there that Tom Williams over there, I still got it on the tape. You know, me, you and Elmer and Rass and Mabel. But Jesse Lamb, he got his fiddle out. He hadn't played in years and years. And they got tuned up there, and there was Rass and Elmer and Jesse. And they were playing some of these old people that they used to play, you know, for Neighbors Young.
Mmm.
And the Soldier's Joy and what was that? Something like the girl's name.
Sally, will you marry me?
No, I'm not.
And it used to play.
I can't think of it.
Get along home with Sandy.
Yeah.
Get along home
Sandy.
Sandy. There's nothing like a good fiddler. Oh, do you like fiddle music?
Mm-hmm. And you got things to play, old Dan Tucker, the college.
Yeah, oh man, Are any of those people still around that you all got together with and played that music?
Not me.
This Jesse Lamb, he's living in his 70s, but I said, hadn't played for so long. And then our pastor, Fanny Elmer, that he was with, or just hasn't been too many years ago, and both of them still.
Mm-hmm.
There's not too many of them older folks left.
Yeah.
And of course, the younger ones are picked up music all their own.
That's it.
It's not like the mountain music out here.
Give me a couple and see what we're there. That's heavy.
Oh. Well, now, I think that I have taken up too much time with these, and I appreciate all the help that you have given us. This has been wonderful. We're not going to play getting pictures, aren't we? Should we tell Mrs. Serbo about that time? You would love this. You know, I brought these maps along, and what I was thinking maybe we could do after we've taken the pictures is you could maybe show me where your homes were. Because on these maps, yes, I mean, we couldn't find Big Meadows. And I found Big Meadows since.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. In fact, I took the whole business over to Darwin Lambert yesterday.
Maybe she'd like to hear some of it. I'm going to hear a little bit what she said to me.
No, I remember what she said.
Well, maybe you didn't. I don't want to say much of it, just a little bit.
Oh,
thank you, Bill. Hurry back, because I'm going to take a picture of all of them.